Well, praise the Lord. What an honor and a privilege it is to be before you again to open up the bread of life. For those of you that know what's going on, I'll give you a quick update. I thank you all for your prayers for my daughter, Autumn. She's in good spirits. The surgeries went well. They're just waiting right now. It's basically the skin graft is the last thing that's taking a little bit of time. But she's being a good testimony in the hospital. She's very thankful to the Lord for everyone that's been praying for her, and it's going to be a long road. But the body of Christ is a very real thing, and the prayers of righteous people availeth much. So there are those that say, well, I'll pray for you, but if they don't have the Spirit of God, that's not a righteous person praying for you, no matter their sentiment. So I'm glad that I know many groups of righteous people who may not always act righteous, but because we're saved, we have the very righteousness of Christ applied to us. So it's been a little while since the last time we talked. I was going to talk to Sister Sandy. If any of you know Dave Stewart, when he went through his series on Acts 16 and he talked about the python, he forgot to talk about the python at the end of his message, so he was mourning over that for the whole night until the next time he got a chance to sit in front of the audience and say, I forgot the python. So in my last first part of this series, I had made a statement, and I don't know if any of you caught it, but it's been weighing on me, and I forgot just three words. According to prophecy, I talked about us being ambassadors for Christ, being here in Christ's stead, meaning his next scheduled appearance. I said his next scheduled appearance is not to bring grace and peace, right? You guys understood what I said, but I should have said according to the prophetic program, okay? Because his next scheduled appearance, as far as the revelation of the mystery is for us, right? A body of believers. So I forgot to say those three things, and it's been bothering me for 14 weeks. So I wanted to make that and straighten that out in case you didn't catch it, okay? So we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 6. We were talking about the armor of God, so we're just going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day of your grace, your peace, and your mercy. We thank you for the long suffering that you're showing us, for the opportunities that you present us with every day to glorify our wonderful Savior in our walk and in our talk. So I just pray that this would be an edifying message, not only for me as I'm speaking it, because I can only share with your people the things that you've shared with me. So I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Just hide me behind the cross, let the Holy Spirit be the real teacher, and we're just going to give you all the praise and the glory because you are the only one who's worth it. And we're just going to ask these things humbly with the full authority that our Lord Jesus Christ has given each believer. Amen.
Amen.
So we were in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm talking about the armor of God, and I think we left off on verse 16. I left off talking about the shield of faith, and now we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. And maybe I'm in the wrong one here. There we go. Let's go up a little bit. There we go. We're in verse 17. Because the last time we talked about the helmet of salvation, and that's that knowledge, that hope, that guarantee that guards our minds that we do belong to the true and living God. We are his purchased possession. So that's part of that helmet. But now we're going to look at the sword of the Spirit. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is one of the last weapons that's mentioned. There's one more after it. But we have two words, correct, in the scriptures. We have the living word, correct? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, we all know that, right? The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. For there are three that bear record in heaven, right? John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So that is one of those verses because the word Trinity is not used in our Bibles, but he is expressed throughout all of the scriptures. And this is a real good verse for those that come knocking on your door. Make sure you answer that door. Don't hide from people when they come knocking on your door. Invite them in. Maybe you can expound unto them the way more perfectly, like Priscilla and Aquila did Apollo. So don't hide from those people knocking on your door. Because the Word of God is what? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word, not only the living Word, but we're talking about the written Word here, right? The Word of God is living, or it's quick, right? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is the only thing. This is the most powerful weapon in the world, is the Word of God. Because a gun can maybe save a life, right, in self-defense, or it can take a life, but a gun cannot give life. Only the Word of God, that's what that word quick means, able to give life. So when we wield the Word of God, it's that weapon, the only weapon in the universe that is able to give life, right? That's why we share it. That's why we use it. That's why we proclaim it, hold on to it. That's why we have it sheathed, because it is quick, living, and powerful. That's what that word quick means. I don't want you to forget that, especially nowadays. We can talk about many things, but all those rocks, arrows, guns, physical weapons, they can only save a life or take a life, but they can't give life. Only the Word of God can give life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable, right? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God has the answers for everything that's in the world. There's nothing that's going on today or has been since the Word came out that it does not deal with every aspect of our lives. But we need to learn it. We need to grow in it. We need to have many daggers ready in our belt of truth. Because it says, the man and woman of God may be complete. What's the purpose of God leaving us his completed word? So that you can share it. You can be complete. There's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking in our Christian walk, right? Like our brother Paul always mentions, our spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? Are we missing any blessings? No, right? We're completely furnished. We're ready to go. As a warrior, you're not missing anything that you need in the battle. That's the Word of God. And the authority of Scripture, right? 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own private interpretation, right? For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along or borne along or moved, like the wind in the sails, along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired these men to write this book. This is the only book that's been inspired. That's why this is the only book that is able to give life, right? None of the Bible is someone's personal opinion. There are no opinions in the Bible, right? There are no stories. When we talk, we should use the term historical context. Or the historical account, you know. People say, hey, have you ever heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den? It's not a story, right? Have you ever heard the historical account of David in the lion's den? Or have you ever heard the historical account of the flood? Or the historical account of the miracles? These are historical accounts. The Word of God can be trusted. We can't take pieces from here and say, well, this is God's word, but then other portions of the scriptures you say, well, I don't like that. Well, no, it's the same God wrote this part as wrote that part, right? The red letter Bibles, all the letters should be read, right? Because the word was spoken by God and then penned by men. And we all know 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is how we wield the sword of the Spirit, right? This is when it's at its sharpest and most effective is when it is rightly divided. When you're swinging that sword and you're swinging that word, you don't want to be hitting people with the flat side of the sword, right? That doesn't do any good in the battle. But there's many people out there that they're swinging and they're just slapping people with the flat end of the sword or the dull end, right? What did we just read? Is it two-edged, right? So there's, yeah. So you have to wield it at its sharpest point, and that's why we rightly divide the word, because that's the proper way to handle it, some of your translations may say, right? Correctly handle, rightly divide. For this cause, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the very word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe, right? The word of God should have an impact and a change on our lives. It says it effectually works in you, right? When you receive that truth and you receive that word, meaning you believe it, right? You've granted access. When you hear the word of God, you've granted access from here down into here, into your heart and into your soul. And that should effectually do something in your life, right? We don't just say these things so you could just listen to it or put it in your pocket. This needs to take an effect on our lives. The more we read, the more we study, the more we should change. That's the way God wants it. And sometimes maybe He has to bring us through some adversities, right, before we realize that. But He's always working through His Word, and for those that know how to speak His Word, right? It's not in stories, and it's using His Word. Matthew 4:4, even when the Lord Jesus Christ was in His earthly ministry toward the nation of Israel, he answered and said, it is written, right? You know how many times He says, it is written? The Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry gave credence and gave authority to those Old Testament scriptures, because every time He quoted one of them, so he has given His authority on those, so He quotes the scriptures, so we know that if we can trust this part, we can trust that part, right? Because He uses all of Scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word, right? We don't stop somewhere in the Scriptures like and say, okay, that's enough. No, it's every word, right? We want to have that effectual working. Principles that are in the Old Testament from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. There are principles in there that we can learn and we can grow from. Amen. John 17:4, I have given them your word, right? And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. These are all verses we know, right? But these are important. These are important verses. Just because they're not in the Pauline revelation, that doesn't mean that we can't wield them properly and use them. The Lord said, sanctify them. Set them apart by what? By your truth, right? Your word is truth. We're living in a world where there are no absolutes. You know, oh, that might be true for you. This is true for me. Well, there's only one book that can give life. There's only one word that can give life. So that means that there's only one word that is absolute truth. From in to amen, from Genesis to Revelation, that's the absolute truth of what's going on. And that needs to be our final authority on all things. What saith the Scripture, right? The Lord said, well, or as it is written. Isaiah 48, see the grass withers and the flowers fall, right? But the word of our God endures forever. There are seasons for everything, right? There's a season for everything under the sun, Solomon says. So when we look out, oh, look at all these beautiful, beautiful things. Well, you know what? That's going to wither. That's going to wither. This is going to burn one of these days. This is going to burn one of these days. But the word of God endures forever, right? Because that's the only word that God gave mankind. That's the only thing able to give life. And that's going to endure when all this stuff is gone. Because one of these days it's all going to be gone and changed, right? And I love Jeremiah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by your authority, O Lord God of hosts. When we first get saved, or when we first start getting serious about our walk, when we find the word of God, Jeremiah says, I ate as much as I could. I didn't just snack on the word of God. That's what Jeremiah is saying unto them. I ate as much as I could. We should be devouring the word of God daily, or books that we know that are written. We should just be devouring these truths. Why? Because it turns into the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. We can always rejoice in the word of God, no matter what's going on in our lives. Right? Amen. That's the joy of the Lord. Right? Rejoice. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Circumstances and happiness. See, happiness has to do with circumstance. But no one can steal your joy from you. You can always rejoice, no matter what's going on. Because we all, let's be honest, every one of us has something going on in our lives. There's something that's trying to suck the joy out of our walk. That's part of the adversary's plan. But the more you know, the more you grow, you can say, all right, even though such and such is happening in my life, or a family member's having some hard times, that doesn't mean that we stop rejoicing, knowing that, hey, you know what? The Lord's in charge. He knows what's going on. He hears our hearts. But we should be devouring the word of God as much as we can. Jeremiah 5:14, therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. That is a powerful statement that Jeremiah makes here. When you properly wield the word of God, all the arguments and all these, all the people that the adversary is using who need to get saved, he says, my word's going to be like a fire, and it's just going to burn up all their arguments, right? Just burn them up. But that's awesome. Jeremiah 23 says, Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So sometimes when we're talking, we got to drop the hammer on people. And I love this verse, right? Because that's God's word. We can drop the hammer on someone in love. In love. In love. But sometimes it needs to be done
with authority.
Yes, with authority. So that others may say, whoa, wait a minute. You know what I mean? So then faith, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing, but you ever hear people say, are you listening to me? Right? Listening and hearing are not the same thing, right? Those of you that are parents, you know. You say, because your kids might be listening to you, but no, did you hear me, right? All throughout the scriptures and Revelation says, he who has an ear, let him what?
Hear.
Hear, not listen, hear, right? So faith, so a response, you know, for the word is able to give life. So when you hear it and you give your response, that's what faith is. Faith is a response to something. So that response comes by hearing the word of God. That's what this verse is talking about. Is the Quran able to give life?
No.
Is all the other we could go to a Christian bookstore and there's thousands of books, right? All these religious books, right? They're not able to give life. Faith doesn't come from hearing stories. Faith doesn't come from hearing your opinion of things, right? Because your opinion is not able to give life. Only the word of God is able to give life. That's what that verse is talking about. There's nothing fancy about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Easy. Now, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, right?
Amen.
the living word. He spoke and worlds came into existence. So now we, right? We, by faith, we understand these things, right? So that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. So we as a body of believers and most believers out there, we understand that, right? There, you know, the Big Bang, you know, all the different lies out there. We understand that. So I'm going to show you a couple pictures here. So let's see how do we use the Word of God to combat what we're going to see here. So by faith we understand that the world was created by the Word of God, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So by faith we understand that. So then how do we use the Word to help these people, right? We're not fisticuffs with these people. We want to help these people, right? Because they don't know, right? Us, by faith, we understand that, right? But how do we combat this? This is just a simple. That's real big right now. There you go. 2 Peter 3, 5 through 7. This is how you combat that. This is how you help those people, right? For this they, those pictures, those members of the human race that we just saw, they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, right, which we're living on and standing on, the one that all those people are worshiping, right? That's what Romans says, correct? They worshiped and served the creation more than the creator. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word, what's that same word? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. So by that same word, by that same Lord Jesus Christ, by that same word of God, this world here is kept in store, right? Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So they might call you a climate denier, right? Isn't that the term they use? You're a climate denier. They are Christ deniers, folks. They are the word of God deniers. They are Bible deniers. Right? That's what the word says. Those people don't understand that by the word of God because those people don't have that faith. And they're not hearing those things that are able to give life, right? We got all these people that are arguing. Pastor Ricky just talked about this a couple weeks ago, correct? You know, marching and holding signs and all this stuff. We're not to get entangled in that stuff. We should wield the word of God that's able to give them life. Because if we weren't saved, we'd probably be right there with them. We got to remember that. We're not any better than even Brother Paul. We're not any better than those people. We're just better off. Because we know. We know we have a final authority that we can trust, that we can go to. And that's the Word of God. So even, let's look at Revelation. Now I saw the heaven open, Revelation 19, 11 through 13. Now I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. See, that's that next scheduled appearance according to prophecy, right? Is when he comes down, he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives, you want to talk about a superhero landing, right? In the movies, that mountain cleaves. That's a superhero landing, because Jesus Christ is the only superhero. Even during his earthly ministry, right? The Lord Jesus said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, right? For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So he that rejects me, and doesn't grant access, right, doesn't receive my words, has one that judges him. the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's something we ought to take note of. Just because he said this during his earthly ministry and he was talking to the nation of Israel, Apostle Paul says the same thing, right? We're not here to judge those outside the body of Christ. So we don't judge those people when they're walking and they're marching. They don't know any better. We're in charge of warning our brothers and our sisters if we see them being unruly and doing things that they ought not be doing, right? That's who we're in charge of. We're in charge of looking out for one another. We're not judging one another, but we're saying, hey, come on, man. We're not supposed to be doing that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going on? How can I help? Right? Not pointing the fingers, right? We're not supposed to be doing that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said there's coming a day. So we just need to speak the word. And then we let the Lord do the work, right? We're not responsible to get results. That's his responsibility. We're just supposed to be faithful. Faithful in what? In sharing. Living our life. Having that word make an effect in our lives. So we're not the same as we were yesterday. Or a week ago. Or 3 months ago. Or whenever you got saved. We're not supposed to be like that anymore. There might come times where we look like that once in a while. You know, we all fall short. So he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. And he says, and the Lord says, it's not me, it's the words that I speak, right? Because even he said, the words that I speak unto you are what? Those words that I have heard from my Father. Right? These aren't my words. These are the words my Father told me to say. So I'm saying them. Revelation 20:10. So the devil that deceived them, right? Because there's a lot of deceived people out there. There's a group that's deceiving. We talked about this during the last study. There are those that are deceiving people, and then there are those that are just deceived, right? So the devil that deceived them, this is his eventual. This is what's coming for him. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Right? You know why hell was created? You know why the lake of fire was created? It was created for the devil and his fallen angels, right? Because they are eternal beings that God created, and they needed an eternal place of torment. But because our ancestors, the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, rebelled and believed the lie. So that happens to be the destination that all of mankind is going to. Just like we're going to get glorified bodies to dwell in the heavens with our Lord Jesus Christ, those unsaved people are going to get bodies also fit for destruction. So there is none of this. Yeah, this whole unit, this whole eventual reconciliation or soul sleep or, you know, hell's only going to be temporary or you're just going to vaporize into nothing. That's a lie because people don't want to believe the word of truth, right? It's very hard to fathom in our head eternity with Christ in a happy state. It's very hard to comprehend eternity in a lake of fire, right? That's hard for humans to comprehend. But instead of just trusting the word and taking the word for what it says, they want to try to make up things, right? Because they want to deny that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. These are simple, basic things, right? Revelation 20:12-13, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened, and another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. That's that judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, that day then where the word is going to judge people. Do you know what the books, plural, are? You know, that's what the word Bible means, right? It's the word books. That's the Bible. So the books are going to be open. So how does that work? Right? Is the same portion of the word going to be opened up for, let's say, David? As opposed to maybe Lot? Right?
You asking a question about you?
Yeah, I'm asking a question. You can... Yeah. Why does it say books? Why is it a plural?
Are kind of similar, but throughout history, there will be different books for, like, maybe Judas would have a different book than the Old Testament folks would have.
Any other?
Every individual life would be like a rerun to him or her. And we can't deny anything that's written in the books. And so it would be there in those books. God keeps a record, in other words.
So let's say it's a timeline.
Yeah.
That's what this is talking about, right? So the book of Genesis, that's the light from God's word that those people had at that time. So they're going to be judged according to whatever light was given during that time period, because God is fair and he's righteous and he's just, right? So they can't be judged on things that they never heard about that he revealed 500 years later. So that's the books. Those people are going to be judged. Let's see, what time did you die? This is the truth that was for you for that time. That's why we need to rightly divide the word. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. But we can't deny it. In other words, the books are kept. God keeps good
records. Oh, he keeps good records too.
So what you get regardless of what dispensation you're in, he got the record.
Yep. Right. Yep. So that's why those books are open. So they're going to be judged according to the thing that was written in the Bible during what time period they lived. And then Revelation 20:14, and then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. They only told me death and taxes was the only thing I had to worry about, right? No one ever told me anything about the second death, right? You talk to people, you ever heard about the second death? And they'll say, what? What are you talking about? That's scary. The second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So is your name written in the book of life? I know mine is. I know God knows my name. Because I trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. I place all my faith, hope, and trust in his finished work, right? Because we can't get there on our own. I realize that. No problem. I'm a sinner and I can't do it. Got that part. That's easy. I can admit that. But there are many out there that can't admit that, right? Can't save someone unless they're ready to be saved, unless they realize they need a savior. You can't help someone that's lost if he thinks he's going in the right direction. So you can argue it if you must, or reject it if you will, but you know what? God's will have the last word. God also wants us to be skilled in the word of righteousness, right? This whole series has been about the weapons of our warfare, how we're soldiers and ambassadors. We need to be skilled in how to use the word, right? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for skilled warriors, skilled men and women that know how to wield the word of God in the manner that it was intended to be used. Not to cut people down, but to get to the heart of the matter. Let's see what's going on. Let's use the word of God and let's pierce unto the dividing of soul of spirit and spirit and soul, bone and marrow. Let's be skilled in the way we use it, right? You ever watch a skilled chef? Man. Right? And I'm over there, you know, making a mess of my chopped salad. Yeah, so we want to be skilled in the word of righteousness, and that comes by being trained in constant practice. We should always be practicing with the word, you know. You see people walking around, if they're good at basketball, you could tell from a young age, right? That kid, don't let go of that basketball or that football. No matter what he's doing, he's got it in his hand, that guy's going to be good, right? Because he values it. He takes it wherever he goes. You can't take that on the bus. Oh man, I ain't leaving without this basketball. It's tied to me. The same should be for the believers with the word of God, right?
Amen.
For everyone, Hebrews 5:13-14, for everyone who partakes only of milk, see, they're not accustomed to the word of righteousness, right? For that person is just an infant. They're just baby Christians. For he is an infant, but solid food, right, is for the mature, who, because of practice, right? The more we practice, the more we can handle. Who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern the simplicity between good and evil.
Amen.
The more we know the word, the more we're skilled in it, right? A baby doesn't know how to use, you know, properly use things. An infant doesn't know how to use things, right? God's not looking for infants. We're all an infant the first time we, you know, the moment we get saved, we're all little babies in Christ. But from that moment on, God treats us as adult sons. We need to be helping those new baby Christians, not just running around birthing them everywhere, you know. I preach the gospel everywhere I go. Well, you're just birthing little Christians. I mean, that's good. But let's, if we can, because we can't always point them into a good local assembly, right? But as much as we can, especially those people that are in our lives, let's help mature them. You know, help you give them the bottle at first, and then it's okay, you know, here. Sometimes you're going to choke on it. And there's going to be moments in your Christian walk where you're going to stumble or fall or throw up, right? Just like kids do when they start eating that solid food. And that's okay. We don't yell at them, do we? What are you doing choking on that word? It's so easy. God says, give this up, give it up. No, we're supposed to be compassionate, right? Because we are God's weapons of righteousness. We are His body. We are God's weapons of righteousness. And this is I'm big into the warrior theme as a man. These things excite me, and they should excite the that God-given maleness in all men of God. We are God's weapons of righteousness. Jeremiah 51:20. God says, "You are my battle axe and weapons of war," declares the Lord. It's us, right? But that warrior needs to have his sword sharpened, you know. He needs to have all of his armor on, and God says he's provided everything for us. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. Even though I got 1,000 excuses that I tell myself, but then I'm just lying to myself. I'm not really being honest with myself. Because God's word makes it clear, right? The whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. This whole world seems to be just being carried away by all these lies, by all these deceptions. Because there aren't many trained people who know how to rightly divide God's word, who know how to wield it properly, and who understand it, right? People who can discern the simplicity between good and evil. That means there's no leaning. There is no leaning left. There is no leaning right. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. It's simple. There are no gray areas. And if you think you're having a situation with a gray area, call one of your brothers or sisters. Talk to them. Ask them to pray for you. Dig into the word to see, and then it'll become clear. I used to think this issue was, both sides. No, the more you study, the more you read, you're like, no. This is wrong. This is right. No matter what, there's always a story to tell, and there's always a lie that you can tell yourself. Well, that only happened because blah 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 blah. The blame game all the way back to Genesis, right? I just like this picture, right? It's the world against us, but we're with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it wouldn't be really fair, right? So bring it on. It's the whole world against us, but God is on our side, right? So if God is for us, who could be against us? What are we worried about? We shouldn't be worried about anything. Anything. And I like this from A.W. Tozer. The most critical need of the church at this moment is men and women, bold men, free men. The church must seek in prayer and much humility the coming again of men who were made of the stuff of which the prophets and martyrs are made. That's a powerful statement right there, right? That's what this country needs. That's what this world needs. That's what our Savior needs, is men and women who are made up of the stuff that the prophets and the martyrs are made of. Because you know what happened to every prophet, right? The Lord Jesus Christ said, you killed every prophet that I sent to the nation of Israel. You killed them all. You killed them all. All the apostles, they were all killed. Our apostle Paul, he was also martyred, right, for the truth, as many of the people that were with him. And right now in the world, there are many brothers and sisters in Christ who are being martyred for their faith, right? Well, just take heart. Don't give up. This isn't the time to lock the doors and turn out the lights. This is the time to light all the lights and shine, open your door, Let's get out there. So put on the full armor of God, right? So we're going to look at, we looked at the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. So who is our belt? Who is the truth, right? John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So he's the he is the belt of truth, correct? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the breastplate? Jeremiah 23:6. Now this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness, right? He's the breastplate. It's him. Who's the shoes, right? Shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who's the shoes? Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, right? He is our shoes. Who's our shield? Genesis 15:1. After these things came the word of the Lord, came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So who's the shield? The Lord Jesus Christ is the shield. Who's the helmet? Can you guess where we're going here? Who's the helmet? The helmet of salvation. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other authority given under heaven, given to mankind, by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. So who is the helmet of salvation? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We just went through, who is the sword? Revelation 19:3, and his name is called what? The Word of God. So who is the sword? The Lord Jesus Christ is the sword. So you see who everything is here? This whole study on the armor of God? Christ. So having a better understanding of what each piece of armor is, how it's used, how to put it on, and then we go to who actually it is. All those armor pieces are one person. So this is now going to give you a better understanding of one verse. Romans 13:4. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. That whole study is to help you have a deeper understanding of this one verse. That's how awesome God's Word is. That whole three Sunday series is all really just about this one verse. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day when we get up, we have a choice to make, right? We can dig that old man or that old woman up, you know, that nasty smelly thing that's been in the ground, that's dead. We can put that on. Or we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So every morning when we get up, we want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's about 10:30. We'll stop there. I was going to go into prayer, but I think that's enough. Any questions? Comments? So what are we going to do every morning when we wake up? Who are we going to put on? We're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We got to make that a priority in our lives every day. You know, Superman was able to change real quick in a phone booth, right? What we do is we tend to change real quick into that old man, right? Ooh, let me get mad and angry about something, and all of a sudden you're like, the old nature, you know, ripping open that shirt. No, leave the Lord Jesus Christ on. Be skilled in the Word, you know, have a better understanding of how to wield that Word of God, that sword of the Spirit. Keep practicing, right? Keep practicing. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Keep practicing. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Keep being a living testimony. Just because you're not standing up here, that doesn't mean you're not standing. You're standing in line at the grocery store. You're standing in line at the gas station. There's your mission field, right? We come here. We're all saved here. This is to encourage one another. For what? For when we all leave and go out there. To go help these people. To go help these people. They need help. I'm glad someone took the time to help me.
Amen.
You know? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that brand new life that you've given us since we first trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. We're so thankful that you did all the hard work for us. And then you not only gave us eternal life, you gave us your very righteousness, but you gave us all spiritual blessings. You fully furnished us. There's nothing that we are lacking in our Christian walk. The only thing that's lacking is my own personal will and my own personal intentionally deciding that every morning I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to make no provisions for the flesh, no open opportunities for that old man to rear his ugly head. So we just thank you. We thank you for this country that we live in. We pray for all of its leaders, Lord, all of them, every single one, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Help us not to get entangled with the affairs of this life or get shaken or get worried or anxious. We know in whom we have believed, and we're just so thankful that you not only began that good work in us, you're also going to finish it. So we're just going to keep trusting you day by day, moment by moment. And just watch over Brother Paul as he brings the next message. And we just can't thank you enough for our wonderful Savior, our wonderful great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.